Right, cheers for that, Rog. Yeah, first thing to say, sorry, I've been reading from notes. Might not be as slick and polished as Roger's, so forgive me if I'm looking down at notes. Let me know if I'm mumbling away. What I wanted to say first is a bit of a disclaimer, really, that I've been quite actively involved in the Packers stuff over the last few years. Like Rog, I wasn't there right from the start. In fact, it started before I even moved to Bristol. But I did get quite involved in it. But I'm not putting myself forward as a representative of a Packers campaign. One of the strengths of the campaign is that it hasn't been formalised. There's been no Packers Field Action Group or anything like that with formal meetings where you have to become a member that, you know, meet in certain places necessarily. And the strength of that has been a lot of people over time have been involved in it. Some people have done a little, some people have done a lot. Some people have left and come back again, you know. And that's been the strength, that everyone's been able to contribute something and not feel, you know, any kind of pressure. And that's really good. So, this is kind of my perspective on what's happened. It's not the definitive perspective. You know, people have different ideas as well, what they want, and, you know, that's good. Now, the first time I heard Rog talking about these ideas a while back, and read his essay a while back, and when I did, it really struck a chord. You know, like Rog, I almost couldn't believe that I was reading these things. You know, these aren't spurious kind of links, as you can see. I mean, they're really clear, it's documented, you know, with quotes. They just tie in so perfectly, and to be part of the campaign and read that was quite energising. I mean, it was quite depressing in a way, but it also sort of brought home that this campaign was part of a wider kind of historical process, really, and it was good to feel part of that. Like, you weren't just fighting for some individual, not in my backyard kind of campaign. We were really part of the historical process, and the people that were fighting these things a few hundred years ago were facing the same things. And I think that's really important for people that are campaigning to realise that, you know, these power structures and these kind of, you know, things that you come up against are, you know, historically kind of entrenched, and you're part of a long struggle, and I think that's quite empowering. Now, despite the similarities, there's obviously a lot of differences between, you know, the era that Rog was talking about and the modern era. Now, some of those differences present real strengths for campaigning these sort of things, and some of it presents weaknesses. Some of it presents potential strengths that actually become weaknesses because of the kind of context of the era we live in. I'd say that the potential positives, you know, generally there's a much greater potential, I think, for resistance to enclosure and stuff in the modern era. I mean, A, people are better educated now. You know, obviously back then there would have been some people, some of the commoners would have been able to read and write. They'd probably be the ones doing most of the work. Nowadays, most people can read and write. If you're going to get involved in a campaign, you know, you can learn about your rights, you can find out a little bit of the legalities, you can get a grasp of some of the history. It's fairly obvious that people are better educated to actually take some control over a campaign. Access to media is obviously really important. In modern day, I know the media has got a lot of faults, but we've got a lot more access to it. You know, it's not difficult to get an article written in a newspaper that's read by a lot of people. It's not difficult to write letters. It's not difficult now to use alternative media, which you can take control of yourself, and you can get things out to people. And, you know, this would have been really, really difficult back then. Also, spare time and money. I mean, the commoners that we're talking about, they wouldn't have been able to, you know, get resources to kind of get the word out to lots of people. There'd been a lot of word of mouth. They wouldn't be distributing thousands of pamphlets. And they wouldn't have had, you know, a lot of time to be doing this based on, you know, their lives were quite hard. Our lives, much easier now. Some of us, you know, luckier than others, how much time we have to work. But we do have more leisure time that we can dedicate to these things. Also, I think it's important about the kind of role of the state then and now. And despite what we might feel about what the state can do to us, you know, there's lots of issues now about terror laws and incarcerating people and freedom of speech. But based on what can happen to you back then, if you poached, you know, be hung. Or if you, you know, if you try to get on the land and, you know, burn down some fences or something, it's pretty serious what was going to happen to you. Now, you know, yeah, of course, there's legal penalties, but they're fairly trivial if you're really dedicated to, you know, winning your campaign. So we're in a real position, and I think it's good to think back at the struggles people used to have and, you know, how we've got it fairly easy. Now, I think also the modern era, you know, brings with it some weaknesses. One of them Rog touched on earlier, and that's the kind of sense of urgency. The commoners, Cannock Chase and other places back then, you know, it was their life. They needed that to live, and if they didn't, they could starve or they could end up, you know, either bonds, begging, prison, hanging, all that kind of stuff. The urgency today, you know, we might feel strongly about the field, but it's quite easy not to get involved or to just say, well, I do care, but, you know, I'm kind of busy tonight and, oh, I've got my family and this kind of stuff. And, you know, so it is a real problem, the urgency that we feel. Also, you know, I'd argue, people might disagree, but a kind of an apathy, which I guess is related to the urgency. But also, I think it's a lack of belief that in effecting change, you know, because we feel so dominated by the government or by local councils, you know, faces, bureaucracies, whatever. And so it's much easier for people to say, yeah, I do care about this field, but hey, what are you going to do? And I'll touch on later about a community consultation that we did at one point, and people that were supporting us and you know, say, oh, good on you for doing this. But yet still, now, yeah, I'll sign your petition, but what good's it going to do? And that is something that really, I think, does bring down a lot of campaigning and can, you know, drag it down. I think there's also a detachment to some extent from political action, you know, and again, that's born of not really needing to do it. If you don't really need to have that field, you know, you might lose out on a game of football walking your dog, but you're not going to, you're not going to lose out on your whole way of life. You don't feel that need to really get out there and do something, like get on that field, take it back, or, you know, chain yourself to a fence or something. And I think generally there's a detachment from political action, and also to see political action as somehow, you know, dangerous. It's really subversive, and some people are really put off by it. And I think that's something, you know, we need to reclaim at a community level, to see, you know, it's okay. There's nothing, you know, terribly dangerous about just sticking up for your local playing field. A lot of this stuff, I think, is based in ideas of community, and I think, again, as Roger said in his talk, the strength of a community is, you know, related a lot to how successful a campaign is going to be. I don't want to idealise the Packers situation or say that, you know, the Whitehall, Greenbank and Eastern communities are the greatest communities in the world. But a lot of times, and important times, there's been a real sense of people helping out there and a lot of people getting involved. And even if not necessarily getting involved, a lot of popular support, which, you know, I've never been lucky enough to be in a community like that before. So I think if you've got a strong community of people that have strong feelings and don't mind getting involved, you've got a much better chance than if it's just a few people fighting it. So talking about the campaign a bit more specifically, why did the campaign come about? I mean, clearly the main reason the campaign came about was because an application was put in by the City Academy School to basically take ownership of this land that people were freely using. Regardless of who actually owned it, people were using it freely, and this was under threat. So we were talking about, you know, enclosure, fences, lock fences, fees to use the field. You'd have to actually pay to use it, rent a pitch, not just go on and kick a ball about. There'd be concrete, you know, green space would disappear to car parks, pavilion, quite a lot as well. You're talking about sort of 100 car park spaces, that's quite a lot. There was talk of the initial application, they had a sports, an athletic stadium, which they later changed to a facility, but it basically meant seating 499 people, floodlights. You know, that was going to wipe out most of the space up there, really, with all the traffic and stuff that came with it. So, you know, there's a clear thing there. This thing was going to appear in the neighbourhood. People didn't want it. But I think also what made people kind of, what made this campaign grow and what sustained it all the way through is it's kind of the attitude of the authorities and the lack of genuine consultation and the lack of genuine democracy. It's been just clear throughout, and I think it's made people really angry, and it's what's kept people involved. It's a real feeling of, you know, we're not going to let them win this because they've, you know, it's been people have seen it as a done deal, and they're not prepared to accept that. You know, people's kind of experiences of Packers, what it is and what it should be, you know, that's been completely disregarded, and I think people haven't been prepared to accept that. And I mean, on a personal level, you know, there's been times over the last few years when I've thought, I just wish this had come to an end, you know, I've got better things to do. But that idea of not wanting to give in to these people, trying to, you know, just take over and not give people any involvement in it, it's been too strong. Okay, so what are these shared desires and experiences that I'm talking about? Now, again, it's state that it's wrong to see the whole thing as a unified campaign or a unified community. People have different ideas about what Packers is and what it should be. You know, even within the proposed development itself, some people might say, well, I don't mind a little bit of cleaning up of the area, maybe if some of the pitches being levelled, improved a little bit. You know, some people say, no, I don't want any of that. And there are, you know, there's a lot of feeling that just leave it as it is. It's fine, you know, people can go on these, the school can use it as it is. So there's differences of opinion. And of course there are people in the community who actually supported the Academy's plans. Now, from the interviews and the consultation we did, we found that to be an extremely small minority, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But it would be wrong to say that there's no one that supported that. So, you know, it's a lot of different opinions. But there's a really clear common element that runs through it, that the amount of time we've spent on it that we've come to see, and you can kind of put it into sections. Now, the first thing is the understanding of Packers as common land, which Roger touched on earlier, that people really do feel that that is a common space that was given to them and they have a right to use it. And the amount of people we spoke to when we've been out and talked to people, we've delivered leaflets, you know, if there's been meetings, that is genuine, and especially older people really hold that dear, and you know, that runs throughout it. The second thing, the second generally shared thing, is the desire to retain free, open access at all times to the site. So, you know, whatever might happen, we want to be able to go on it. We always have, and we want to carry on doing that, and we don't want to have to ask permission, and we don't want to say, no, you can't do it at that time of the day. You know, we should be able to use it at any time. A desire for green space. So it's not the people saying, yeah, we want to go on and use spanking facilities. People saying, well, we want green space. You know, we don't want AstroTurf and car parks and things like that. We, you know, posh cricket squares, but the whole thing's going to be fenced off. You know, people want a green space they can walk on, that they can run on, that they can sit on, they can look at. Some people were bothered that just a view would go, that they look out and see green space in the city. That's very important. And one of the most important things is the idea of shared use. Now, Roger talked a bit about the kind of propaganda campaign by the council, specifically the Academy. And one of the things that they kept putting about was that somehow the town green and the general community feeling towards Packers Field was they wanted to take it for themselves and not let the school use it or let sports teams use it. And that's become quite a strong, that became quite a strong thing. But it's ridiculous. I mean, it is actually ridiculous. People that live around that field and use that field have children at the school. So they want their children to use it after school, but they also want their children to be able to go up there and play games, you know, have sports. In the same way, people that live around there probably play for sports teams, cricket and football. They'd probably quite like to
hire a pitch up there. Also, they want to go up there in their spare time, kick a ball about, or just walk around. You know, it doesn't add up to think that local people want to keep it for themselves. I mean, what do you think they're going to do with it? They're going to use it. They're not just going to keep it there doing nothing. You know? They are the same people that use it for all the purposes. So it's key to understand that people have always wanted to use it, for the school to use it, sports clubs to use it, and the local people. I mean, these desires aren't exactly kind of revolutionary, really. Yeah, these is essentially what always happened. You know, always. The school has used it for years, no one's disputing that. Sports teams, probably less over the years, I mean, for whatever reasons, but sports teams have used it, and local people used it, and it works. You know, people don't go up there running around pitches when there's a game on. You know, if your kids are having a sports day, a load of local people don't just go out and break it up. You know, it doesn't work like that. You might get an isolated event when someone goes and does something on the field, which is out of order, but it's not, you know, it's just an absolute rarity. So, moving on to the next thing is about what the campaign has faced, and that's been touched on a little bit. The lack of consultation is one thing. You know, you might have got a token bit of consultation, maybe a letter sent around, but right from the start, in terms of real consultation, of going out to people's doors or sending people in-depth surveys about these plans, it's a big deal that this green space is going to be taken away potentially. It's the council, you know, the council responsible for it. They need to be going to the people that they're supposed to represent and getting opinions and working these people. That didn't happen. It was top down, a few letters sent out, things put through quietly. The consultation that was done, loads of it was unbelievably loaded. There was a very famous piece that went out, Robin Moss, who was the Labour councillor when this plan was put in, who was also, he didn't declare, also on the board of the Academy. He put out his own consultation, according to the Academy, they didn't know about it, where he sent out to hundreds of local people and just said, do you, A, want top of range sports facilities for your children, or do you not? And it was literally, you tick which one you want and send it back. And, you know, people said, well, yeah, that'd be quite good. But it had no context to what that meant or what the alternative was. And, you know, Robin Moss has sadly departed from the political scene, which I think is quite telling. But that was the level, you know, this loaded consultation or none at all. Also, all the propaganda that we've talked about, the misinformation, you know, these claims that if the development doesn't go ahead, it's going to be dangerous. There'll be a lack of maintenance. This idea of single use, you know, that this coven of local people will just keep it for themselves. The amazing thing that it was profit motivated. But if there was a town green, the local people would somehow make money out of it. Which I don't understand how they would do that. I don't see what it is, a town green. You know, you wouldn't be able to develop it. It would just be a free space for people to use. And they carried this out, like we've seen, through the media. Letters to parents, that's quite important, you know, put the fear into parents, even especially parents who might be, you know, kind of against you. But if you put the fear up on about what might happen, it's quite strong. The indoctrination of the children, I think it's fair enough to put it that strongly, that Roger mentioned. I've got a few of those letters, that really did exist. There were I think it was across a couple of the years of the school, were like given time in class to write letters against the town green application. And I want to read at least one out just to give you an idea of how they've been put up to this, because the age of some of the kids writing them is pretty telling. And these are actually, so they're done in school time, but they're actually addressed to Mr. McNamara, who was the guy who was in charge of the public inquiry or something. So this went along with evidence from like Bristol City Football Club or the head of the old Georgians. Kids from the school, Whitehall Primary School this one's from, sorry, that's even younger. Dear Mr. McNamara, I'm writing to complain about the application to register Whitehall Playing Field as a town green. It's fairly developed for a primary school. I am a child at Whitehall Primary School and I am very much against this application. It will be unfair because we will not be able to do playing at dinner or sports day or football. And we will not be able to do any more clubs, and we will not be able to do anything but play in the playground. So if the town green goes ahead, these children believe, and I don't know where they've got this idea, that they will never be allowed to use that field. I mean, this is real. This is copies. And then look, that's a happy person, I think, who's, you know, against the town, and that's the upset person. This is unbelievable, and there's loads of them. I've got them here, so have a look afterwards. There's one that I can barely read because it's written by kids clearly so young they can't spell. It's quite funny actually, but you know, it obviously carried some weight. Interestingly, when put to Ray Priest, the head of the academy, on a film that was made about this, that people were angry about that and they felt it to be below the belt, Ray Priest put on a really strange kind of defensive, I've been busted here, face, and did not deny it. He just said, oh really, is that what people thought? Well, I thought their whole campaign was below the belt, and then moved on. He did not deny that school time was given up to that. The other thing that was faced, obviously legal stuff that we've touched on, you know, Bristol City Council controlled the planning process. The planning process isn't that easy. It can be once you spend a couple of years getting used to how it works, but it's not when you first look at it. It's hidden away in, like on the internet in strange places with lots of reference numbers. You've got to go down to council house and get stuff out. You know, it's not an easy process, even if you believe that it's a fair one, which I don't really. And then of course the town green application itself, Bristol City Council, who had an interest in it, were also kind of representing the view against the town green. They had a legal guy, £1,500 a day to put their case, whereas the town green people, no legal training, no legal representatives. You know, the control of the legal process is really, really important. There's also quite important, I think, is the complete inability to understand what, you know, normal people's kind of conception of common land and what it could be. You know, the potential for a common space, a town green, where the community have a stake in it. And a lot of the time, the academy and the council and whichever the developer you're talking about, I think, you know, it's about commercial interest. They need control of it and they'll use any sort of tactic to get it. But I think also a lot of the time we see that these people really don't understand, you know, they don't understand the concept of a common space that normal people might be able to run in everyone's benefit. And this is a great quote from the film where another question was put to Ray Priest, you know, about, well, what's wrong with town green, you know, if the school can still use it. And he said, do you have a committee that tells you how to run your house? And the person in the room said, no. And he says, ah, well, there you go. So why would you want a committee running a town green? Which, at the time, I didn't understand it. I watched it again and again. And I just feel like he didn't, you know, he couldn't distinguish between the idea of common land and private property. You know, of course you don't have a committee running your house because you own it. You know, but if everyone owns it, yeah, you have to have some sort of forum where people get together. That's a good thing, where you discuss it. You haven't just got some individual like Ray Priest telling you what happened. I'll try and move it on a bit. I'm going on a little bit. So Netflix, really important then. How did the community actually fight back? One of the first things, the sort of starting point, was playing the game, as it were. So idea of the planning process, steering meetings, a few public meetings. People did go the normal channels, first of all. And when they felt that they were being ignored, and the whole thing was just kind of going through the motions, they kind of just said, no, you know, we don't accept this way of doing things. So sort of started, that's when the campaign really grew, is when people took control of it themselves. Interestingly, John Keeley, who was a councillor at the time, started a steering meeting, which his idea was just to oppose the athletics facility, but not the rest of it. And when the steering committee said, actually, no, we want to oppose the whole thing, we want your help putting a town green application, he threw his toys out of the pram and disbanded it because it didn't fit what he wanted, even though he's the representative of the people that were there. Another man who's since lost his political position. So I think there's a feeling that this idea of going through the normal process is a bit like petitioning the landowners back then, or the legal people, sort of going and cap in hand without the understanding, without the knowledge, playing the game, and at the end of the day, they know more than you, they've got documents, they've got money, they've got power, but they can say, look, we did give you a chance to put your case. You know, that's definitely similar to what was going on back then. But luckily, you know, people said, we're not going to do that, we're going to go for other ways. So, you know, you pulled upon different people within the community, like you said. We had, for example, Eastern Cowboys doing a lot, organising big events, because they've got good organisational skills and a good network of people. But also individuals with strengths and skills, so people with good knowledge of local history or local contacts who might know something about what went on in the past. Maybe a few informers here and there in, you know, important places. People that knew how to work the media a bit, you know, had an eye for a good story. And all of these skills are really important to pull them all in at some point, you know, and that's kind of getting that feeling in the community that everyone feels that they can play a part. Public information was a big thing. So, you know, getting information out to the community, doing leafleting, writing up a leaflet or, you know, kind of newsletter, and going around the entire community, hundreds and hundreds of houses, and hand delivering it, putting it through the door so people can read it. Putting up posters locally, holding your own public meetings, a website that was set up, quite a good website, actually, isn't it, really? And, you know, so people have got resources they can go to and really find out what's happening. So they can find out what they can do to help. You can say, go on the council website, type in this number, oppose the planning application. You know, you can get that information out. It's important that this information is factual. Yeah, it's fine, you know, name calling and propaganda and whatever, but if you can put out stuff, if your case is strong enough, if you put out factual information, you get people on board, because they realise the information they're getting from you is better, is more accurate, and is less, you know, kind of biased, less dishonest maybe than the stuff that's coming from the academy, you know, this kind of veneer of truth. So it's really important to be honest about it and make your campaign strong. The film was really important, getting the film out. We held some film nights, various places, so people come in. They can actually see interviews with Ray Priest, John Keeley, Abdul Malik, local people putting the cases. And it's quite important to document what people have said, so in the future when people change their minds, you know, Ray Priest says, oh, actually, no, I've always been for, you know, people coming on and using it. You can show them the film and say, you know, we've got it there. So that's quite important. Publicity is a big one. The City Academy's its strength is its PR. It's a massive PR machine. They are nationally, they are locally. It's very new labour. It's very slick. They've got a guy who's good with the media in charge. But it's also their downfall. Because when the City Academy do something naughty or tell a lie, you can expose them, and it's the thing they hate most, because it brings them down. You know, they built their whole thing on PR. You've got to have better PR than them. So getting your own publicity, you know, getting into the local paper, showing up some health and safety failing when they've failed to protect the site when developing it. You know, it was quite a dangerous place at one point. Letters to the newspaper. Positive press, you know, like Roger said, if you do an event, like the Packersfield Fun Day, you get a good article, and it actually counters their argument that the people that are on there are bad people. Using stuff like the Bristolian, which people probably remember, sadly gone, but they put out some great articles, and a lot of people read that, and a lot of people, you know, would prefer to read that than what the Academy's putting out. We even made it into Private Eye at one point, which was quite a result. The exposure thing is good, because it also puts them in fear of doing more stuff, I think. If they know you're organised and you're waiting on their every word, they're not going to tell quite so many lies, because I think they're worried about what you might do. One of the most important things that was done was a community consultation. To counter the fact that the Academy and the Council had not done it, I was involved in this, there was a good bunch of people involved. We decided, let's just get out there. If we really believe that people don't want this development, we've got to put our money where our mouth is and go and ask people, and you know, we could be wrong. So we went out and I've got it here, I've got some copies actually, which I will stick up the thing after the talk and people just take a copy of that. Basically went out, we went round 255 houses. It was done at random, it was just the houses nearest to Packers Field. We didn't know who lived in these houses. And we asked them very simple, three direct questions. It said, this is what we think. Do you agree with this? Do you not? Or do you not, you know, have an opinion either way? It was very simple. We told people, you know, if you disagree, that's fine to say. But we went door to door. It was raining quite hard at some point that day. It was hard work, but it was genuine. We asked people what they thought. There was also a petition attached to it, but that petition was quite detailed. It wasn't just, are you against the academy? It was, this is what we believe. And when we presented that to the academy and the council, I think it really took them back that we've gone out there. And there was an attempt, John Keeley tried to say it was a clique of people, and a couple of local people who support the academy's development said, well, you didn't come to my door, as though we deliberately targeted because we knew where they lived and we just went around our mates' house. You know, pathetic arguments. And I think it caused quite a stir, and I think that some of the successes I'll talk about in a minute, partly caused by the fact that we showed that it's a serious thing, and people, we back it up with hard evidence, basically, it's important. Talked about the legal stuff, the town green, obviously it was very difficult and it wasn't ultimately successful, but people did take on this role of, you know, right, we'll fight them legally, we'll get trained up ourselves, we'll learn about this stuff. And Sandra particularly, you know, sort of drove the town green application. She put an enormous amount of time into teaching herself so she could, you know, do it. And that's, you know, really important. Yeah, we shouldn't maybe have to do that, but we are capable of doing that. More recently, and this is quite important for people to know about because this is really related to what's happening at Packers now, there's this thing called a community use agreement, which now when kind of council developers take space like this and put sports facilities in, they have to put a document out that says what they're going to do, how they're going to maintain it, who's able to use it, all this kind of stuff. And generally they write it and stick it out and that's it. But the one that they put out was a couple of paragraphs and it was so vague that it was meaningless. I mean, it's not that strong a document in law anyway, a CUA, but they do have to be, you know, they have to be fairly robust. You have got recourse. If it isn't stuck to, you can go, you know, take it somewhere and say this isn't being done. What happened, we were lucky enough to have someone got involved in the campaign who is involved in legal stuff for his profession, was, you know, invaluable. But a lot of work went into writing our own CUA, and this was an amazing thing that we wrote from their few paragraphs. We put together a thing, I don't know how many pages long it is, it must be, I don't know, 30 pages long or something, written in legal, in a legal way, a really nice thing. We gave it to them expecting them just to say no chance, you know, because we're putting all this stuff about informal use. Their one just wanted sports clubs and the school. It didn't say anything about informal use. This document was so good that they accepted it. They took it to their legal people and they accepted the community use agreement, which gives people the right to go on and use it. Which is an amazing way to come, you know, from, and I think it shows how people have got organised and have kind of trained themselves up. Okay, really, I'm almost done now. So it comes to that, comes to the question then, that's the sort of question of the talk tonight, was Packers Field a success, I think the title was. Now it's quite interesting to call it that, because that question was kind of raised with me quite recently, when the CUA was signed and accepted, you know, we saw it as quite an important thing. And so there was a social night put on in a pub with some terrible bands, and just to get people together and say, you know, we've actually achieved something here, we've got a right to celebrate and get together. And, you know, I gave a flyer out on another demonstration, a cycle park demonstration, and someone that I kind of know who's quite involved in local campaigning and stuff and quite astute looked at it and said, what do you mean a celebration? There's nothing to celebrate. We lost. They're building on it. You know, they're building a pavilion. They're building a car park. And, you know, that made me think about, you know, what people's idea of success is. And yeah, you could look at it like that. You could say, we didn't get everything we wanted. We didn't get a lot of what we wanted. You know, there are fences around it. There is green space lost. We'd like to have had, you know, that we won everything. But that hasn't happened. If you compare to what they suggested, the initial application, which was locks, fences, no informal access at all. You could not just go on there and kick a ball about or have a picnic. There'd be an athletic stadium there. You know, it would be a complete new development. What we've achieved is some development and agreement that people can still go on there and use it informally in that common way. You know, that to me is a success. People are out there now using it. People, I've seen it today, people are out there, they're using it already. It's not even officially open again, but people have just said, you know what, we've seen that there's a CUA, it's been signed, you missed your opening day, we're on there. And I think, you know, what are they going to do? I think it's also a wider victory, a success for the community. The Academy was so hateful towards the community when this started, as we saw from some of the things that were on there. It was also they specifically targeted individuals in the campaign, really personal attacks, which was, you know, shocking coming from the head of a school. Now, you know, they backtrack. They're, you know, they are talking to people. They looked at the CUA. They saw that it was reasonable. They're now saying that now we want people on there. Yeah, of course we want people. We've always said that people could come on. You know. Then there's going to be like a process of grievance. So when people are using it, if people think that the Academy is locking the gates or chucking people off when they shouldn't, there's going to be a grievance process. Now all these things obviously have got to be tested. It could be just a smokescreen. And Ray Priest has said that he's still interested, he is interested in having an athletics, not a stadium, but like a track there, which would obviously not be open to people, and it would take up most of the remaining kind of free space other than the pitches. So this has all got to be tested. There's still a lot to be done, and you know it's not ended yet. But the fact they've come so far from talking about paedophiles and the local bullies who bullied the council into this public inquiry, now say no, we want to have dialogue. We want you to be on there. That's a big achievement, and I think it shows the strength of the community that the Academy realised that this is real. Also just the sort of successes you can't see. The empowerment of people, you know. I personally, this is the best campaign I think I've been involved in, a local campaign that I've felt, you know, I've learned a lot about the kind of history of it, obviously, but also tactics. You know, things like the community consultation was probably one of the best things I've been involved in, actually getting out there and doing the stuff that often campaigns don't do. You like to say you've got local support, but you don't actually want to go and talk to people because it's a bit scary. You know, I've taken that now and said, well, if I was ever involved in this again, that's the first thing I'd do, because you've got to get people involved and you've got to talk to people. So the skills that people have learned are totally invaluable. And also the idea you can take on the powers that be. You can embarrass them. You can make them go running. You can mess them about. You know, you call the shots. You may not win everything, but you do call a lot of the shots, and it's good fun seeing them win. So to finish by just saying that, I'd say it's a success. You know, not a complete success, but in a lot of ways it is. And I think that the bits that have been a success, it's really important that people that are involved in other campaigns, you know, maybe take some of this positive stuff on. I'm hoping that at some point we might put together a pamphlet about what's happened. It's been such a long campaign and so much stuff's been done that it might be useful to other people, you know, like the Castle Park people, Stokes Croft, the per down, so it's happening everywhere. And at the moment there's a lack of groups talking to each other. And actually, if we'd have had someone say to us, this is how you do a town green application, we might have won it, possibly. But when you don't know, because no one's told you how to do one, you know, it's very difficult. So I think that one of the things to take away from this is for people to talk to each other and work with other groups. And now I'll shut up because we're probably desperate. So,